Good morning. Well, very nice to meet some of you for the first time. My name's Mark Dance, and it's, can you hear me okay? All right, my name's Mark Dance. It's kind of a false promise in this case. It's a Baptist preacher named Dance. I do not dance. I do not dance well anyway. But I'm so happy to be here today on this Sunday and to come back again in a couple of weeks. We're looking at Psalm 23. If you have a Bible, you want to turn there, turn that on. We're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture today. And Psalm 23, in fact, it's so familiar. I usually preach from the CSB, Christian Standard Bible. But you know, this 23rd Psalm, it just seems like we ought to read it in the King James Version. There's just such a rich 400-year-old translation. It's such a beautiful song, originally written to be sung, of course, written by King David as he was a shepherd speaking to his great shepherd. And I prayed about what to talk about this morning, your first Sunday post-Heath. How would you feel? You've got a pastor who's just left. You still got the pandemic. You still got the politics. You still got the protests. You've got all the goody of 2020. And I'm going to come here, and what does God want to say? I think what he wants to say is, I am your shepherd. That's the message right there. Everything else I say is just going to turn right back to the main point of this song, the Lord is my shepherd. Mark Dance and Heath Tucker, Anthony Jordan. Lots of shepherds are going to come through here preaching, Monty Hale, and loving and feeding you. But ultimately, don't we all have in common that the Lord is our ultimate shepherd? Father, thank you for loving us, for feeding us, for leading us. And we have no fear because you're with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Pray that today at First Baptist, you'd be glorified through the singing and the preaching and the teaching of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. So my wife's coming to the second service. We live in Broken Arrow. We're one of four regional ministry partners that have been placed in different parts of Oklahoma. And so my territory goes from Bartlesville down to Ada. I'll be at Ada tomorrow night. And then from Stillwater over to Muskogee. So it's a pretty big region. And also, as I mentioned, pastoral development. Heath and I are actually working on some things together to create a ministry pipeline here in Oklahoma. He's helping from the standpoint of his doctoral project is going to be related to what I'm working on to get experienced pastors connected to emerging pastors, to help pastors before they even get married and have kids, before they can, you know, mess up their marriage or ministry. We're going to help them when they say yes to God's call at Falls Creek or somewhere else, and then through college and through their first 5 years of ministry, helping young emerging pastors get discipled as they make disciples. So anyway, you're always going to have Heath in your life. I pastored churches for 27 years before going to Lifeway 6 years ago, starting a department called Lifeway Pastors. And I've been here in Oklahoma for the last year. But as a pastor, I go back to those churches, and they feel like a family reunion. And every time that Heath and Randy come back, it's going to feel that way. They're just going to look a little older. Eventually, Heath's going to look something like this right here. And you're going to go, man, I tell you what, the good old days, you'll forget the bad things that he did and remember the good things. That's how that works, all right? That's how it should work anyway. Because ultimately, the Lord is your shepherd. You're going to love on your shepherd. You have a great reputation in Oklahoma for taking care of your staff and your pastors and each other. You really do. You also have a great reputation in Oklahoma for being a missions funnel. Through your cooperative program gifts, you're supporting missionaries literally all over the world. That and Lottie Moon and Edna offering. You're helping children and senior adults. You're helping youth. You're helping college students. We have ministry Oklahoma Baptist on every college campus in the state. I mean, it's a great convention to be a part of, but it's churches like you that keep the ministry going. So thank you for what you're doing. And we're also serving pastors. What we're trying to do at the top of my list is the well-being and the health of pastors and their spouses. And so not only to on the prevention side, but some of them get in trouble and they need help on the crisis side. And we provide counseling and we do all kinds of things with money that churches like yours have given to serve pastors and churches and partner with associations. So David's psalm here is the most popular of all his psalms. And it's also his testimony. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to read from the King James, and I'm reading from the Bible that my grandmother gave me on my ordination Sunday in 1987. All right? So I can't barely read the letters. I used to have eyes that could read these letters, but I'm going to do my best since we know it anyway. If you want to read along with me, you're certainly welcome to. Just don't get any COVID dust on your neighbors, all right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. So here's David's testimony and what he's saying to us and to all those who have enjoyed it over the years. The first thing that he says is that the Lord is pastoring me. The Lord is pastoring me. It's in the present tense. It's not like he used to pastor me. He's not talking about the good old days, even though he used to be a shepherd. Shepherd and pastor are the same word in both Hebrew and in Greek. Pastor is a shepherd, a shepherd's a pastor. So what this former shepherd, now king, is saying to the great shepherd is, you're pastoring me. The Lord is my shepherd. Only someone who has a relationship with the Lord, who has a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ, can say that. And today, if you don't know Jesus personally, you've not asked him to be your shepherd, to be your Lord, you can say yes to him today. But until you do, you can't really say, the Lord is pastoring me. It's the most personal part of the whole song. It literally would be Yahweh is the word Lord. It's the most personal name for God. It's the name that's used 7,000 times in the Old Testament. Yahweh, Yahshua is the name Jesus in Hebrew. Yahweh saves. So Yahweh, you are pastoring me. The Lord is my shepherd. And you've never needed one more than you do now. You have different stories. You have different past. You have a different present right now, in that some of you are very close to your pastor. Some of you are not as close. Some of you will be closer to your next pastor than others. That's just inevitable, right? It's just inevitable. And it's normal. Don't expect from a pastor to be equally close to everyone, because that's not possible. It's not realistic. But the fact is, regardless of how close you are to a human pastor or any staff member, is that you're going to need the Lord to pastor you. We're new here. We got here like a few weeks after Drew got here. We moved to Broken Arrow. And, you know, after being here, you start to settle in, you start to make friends, you start to travel a little bit, and all of a sudden we're sheltered in place. You just don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. But if you do, just get all the toilet paper you can, right? If you get out there, then make sure you stack up. And so as our true shepherd, I had to allow the Lord, as a shepherd, as a pastor myself. Like I said, I've been a pastor for 27 years. I've been an interim pastor. I preach every Sunday. But as a pastor, I need a pastor. And now as a pastor to pastors, I need the Lord to pastor me. Are you allowing the Lord to pastor you through this pandemic? That's what David was saying. And not only that, but are you allowing the Lord to pastor through you? Because here's the deal. Drew and Scott can't cover all the bases. All right? Anthony Jordan can't either. You First Baptist is going to have to shepherd each other. You have to step it up. I love the fact that deacons are active here. I'm a son of a deacon. My wife's a son of, or daughter of a, you didn't hear that. The daughter of a preacher. She's a preacher's kid. I'm a deacon's kid. It's match made in heaven. I was in the smoking section of church, and she's in the other one, right? And then I switched teams, and I got over in the pastor world. But everyone, deacons, teachers, staff, Joe Church member, we just need each other. We need to shepherd each other. But ultimately, we're just enablers if we don't point people to the true shepherd. Because ultimately, yeah, call me anytime is the answer. Call on the name of the Lord anytime is the answer. Because we want people to be dependent on Jesus, not dependent on us. We're not in a position to save anybody. But we can help. We're under shepherds. Amen? So the Lord is shepherding me is the first thing he's saying. The second thing he's saying in his testimony here is that the Lord is providing for me. I shall not want. CSB says there's nothing I need. I was thinking about that and praying through that as I drove here from Broken Arrow. I was trying to think of all the things I want, and usually the things I want have something to do with archery because I am been an archery fanatic for the last 15 years. And I'm running out of things I actually even want, much less need. But if you have what you need, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful. Because we're going to run short on some things. And the fact is, we don't know what the economy is going to do. We don't know what the election is going to do. We don't know what the pandemic is going to do. There's a lot we don't know. And we're going to have to laugh. Right now is just an ideal time to let the Lord be our provider. He not only wants to pastor us, he wants to provide for us. I'm everything you need. Everything you need. He talks about three different needs here in this psalm. One's his physical needs. He lets me lie, or makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a picture of a sheep. Who's satisfied? When we moved to Broken Arrow, we bought this house that our back fence lines up with a recreational farm. I don't know if that's a technical word or not, but that means that the people that run it don't know what they're doing. All right? This is not a money-making thing. All right, there's five llamas, four sheep, two ponies, and two horses. One's a paint like little Joe had, and one's brown. All right? I don't know what kind it is because I'm not a farmer either. I think you picked that up. And then they had chickens and they had hogs, and all of a sudden, we moved in there in January, I noticed the hogs were the first to go. And then there were the chickens. All of a sudden, the chickens were gone. And instead of two sheep, you had the mama sheep, you had the daddy sheep, and then you had two little twin sheep we called Mary-Kate and Ashley. They were identical twins, couldn't tell them apart. And they'd come up, and we'd feed them carrots and whatever. We'd find out what they liked. And by the way, llamas don't really like anything or anybody. First time Janet fed them a carrot, they spit it right back on her. And it was on Sunday clothes, you know. So, anyway, Mary-Kate and Ashley disappeared. I was like, where are these chickens going? Where are these hogs going? Where'd Mary-Kate and Ashley go? And then I saw the coyote. And I knew the answer to that question. Like I said, I love archery. So I got my bow out and I started practicing. And I I've got it right by the door right there. I've got a little blind there right on the fence line. And I've only gotten one shot so far, and I missed at 40 yards. But I'll be ready the next time. I've got a little game call. I've got everything, man. I'm ready to ambush that. I'm mad at that coyote. I'm ready to go after that. You messed with Mary-Kate and Ashley. The chickens I was fine with because they're kind of noisy. The hogs, I don't care. But listen, you mess with those sheep. Here's what the Lord's saying. You don't mess with my sheep. I'll protect you. I'll do what your pastor can't do, your deacons can't do, your daddy can't do. I'll protect you. I want you to know that there's not, one thing I've told pastors these last 8 months is there's not a decision that you'll make that everybody in your church will agree with. Just know that. It's not possible. Everybody's got the same people in the church, all right? You got the people who are like, man, you know, we won't see them for months. They're still under their bed. Then you got the people who think the whole thing's a hoax. Most of us are in between, but you've got those people who are always going to be there and they're always going to be mad. I was at a pastor meeting last week full of pastors, and one guy was a couple of, and I went like this, you know, and he's like, he didn't want a fist bump. He wanted to shake. He said, it's all or nothing. I said, well, let's greet each other with a holy kiss then. You can't win sometimes. I actually don't know. I wasn't trained in the medical profession. I don't know a thing about pandemics and germs and all that stuff. All right? So I'm not up here to talk about that. But I'm here to tell you, most of us don't know what the future holds. But what we do know is the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord protects us. And some of you have physical needs that you have vulnerabilities. I've got my former worship pastor right now has COVID and he has one lung. And he's 5 years older than me. I'm 55. So he's got more concern about this than most. And so he's trusting the Lord for his physical needs. Also, David says, I'm trusting the Lord for my emotional needs. He says, he leads me beside the quiet waters. So you've got two sheep left. One, let's just say the daddy sheep has been well fed, all right, by these farmers, by these recreational farmers. And so he's not only doesn't get sheared, so he's got a full coat on all through the summer, but he's also just kind of waddling around. Well, there's a pond directly behind our house, and the ponies go in, the horses go in, the llamas go in, the sheep don't go in. Why not? Would you walk into a pond with a fur coat on? A wool coat on? You know, I wouldn't. Here's the thing, what David knows, and that many of you that know farming know, that sheep don't swim. They're afraid of water. And so they need still waters. Lead me, I am the sheep. Lead me beside some still, calm waters. How would you like to turn the news on and have a little calm water? Have some good news. I haven't seen good news on any news channel in a long time. All I see is just these streaming waters. And those sheep, they'll get in there and they'll just like, you know, just barely get up. Tell you, I'm not a farmer at all. One of the ponies, also well-fed, an older pony, was in the middle of that pond and just the top of its head was sticking out. I was talking to a pastor at the time who was trying to do my job, and I noticed, because my office is at home, I noticed that pony in the middle of that pond with its head sticking out and it stick its nose up. And then go down and blow up bubbles. And I started to get concerned after 20, 30 minutes. I thought, that little pony can't get out. It's stuck. There's no way that thing can get out of that pond. And so I said, listen, I know this is a weird thing, but I'm going to have to call you back because there's a pony drowning in my backyard. So I hung up with this pastor. I jumped the fence. I went over to the owner. I knocked on the door. And some frightened teenage girl opens the door. And I said, listen, I hate to bother you or scare you, but I think there's a pony drowning in the pond. Which pond? And I said, this pond right by my house. I think it's drowning because it's just, you know, the nose and the bubbles and all this. And she said, okay, thank you. Go away, weird guy. And I went away. And then I went back there, and it was still in the same position. And about 10 minutes later, now 30 minutes into the middle of this pond, it just comes waddling out like nothing. I call this one Eeyore. Eeyore never smiles. Eeyore came out like, well, that was good. And then the other horses went in. I was like, well, I'm a complete idiot. This horse was in no danger whatsoever. Sometimes This is a great picture of 2020. This is a great picture. We don't know what to do. We don't. And you're going to get a brand spanking new pastor one of these days, and he's not going to know what to do either. I can just tell you in advance. But the Lord does, because the Lord is protecting you. He's protecting you for your physical needs. He's protecting you for your emotional needs, because you'll lie down in bed and your anxiety might go up, some of you, or in the middle of the night, and you're like, I'm not sure what to do. And if you've got children at home, you double that. I'm not sure what to do. You've got parent panic. You've got mother guilt, father guilt. We're not sure what to do. Do we do a Halloween alternative thing or not? Some are going to say yes. Some are going to say no. Are we going to kill all the children in Skytook? Are we going to save all the children in Skytook? I don't know. But the Lord does. How about we as a church family, and as the kingdom of God, let the Lord be our shepherd? He says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters so that I can trust Him. I can be calm. And don't let anxiety rob you of the joy of your salvation. Come to me, Jesus said, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's a shepherd. He also provides for David's spiritual needs. He says, He restores my soul. Our souls get weary. Spiritually, we're not talking about losing our salvation, but we are, like David did experience later on after he wrote this psalm, he did lose the joy of his salvation. Didn't he? And right now, in 2020, and I think into 2021, for churches in general, not just Baptist churches and not just First Baptist Skytook, but this is a time when a lot of people's souls are weary. And this is a dangerous time for sheep, because they've been sheltered and they get into rhythms and they get out of rhythms. And some of you are thinking right now of people that you hadn't seen in 2 or 3 months. And you're wondering, are they going to another church? Have they given up on church altogether? Are they just afraid? What's going on? And we need to shepherd them. We don't need to give them a guilt trip. Where have you been? Don't give them one of those, you know, we really missed you in a guilt tone. They need more than that. The fact is, some people are vulnerable. There will always be some in your congregation that are weaker than others spiritually. Some are emotionally weaker. Some are spiritually weaker. And David was in a place where he got very weak spiritually. He says, all of us are like sheep who go astray. Each of us to our own way. There's not many Christians haven't had a season where they've walked away. And they don't usually do it on purpose. But this is one of those seasons when people kind of get away and then they don't come back. And they didn't mean to get out of church. They had no intention of leaving. But all of a sudden, erosion happens spiritually. And we need to shepherd each other. We need to make sure that the joy of our salvation has not been lost as well. He leads me, verse 3, He leads me along the right paths for His namesake. Let the Lord lead you today. And you know, be patient with each other, because we're going to make mistakes. But the Lord is pastoring His people. He is providing for His people, spiritually, physically, emotionally. But then the last two verses, say the Lord is protecting me. So He's pastoring me, David says. He's providing for me. And He's protecting me. In verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, there are people that you know in your family, in your church family, your biological family, at work or school, who are very afraid right now for different reasons. Some are afraid of the pandemic. Some have lost friends and loved ones. Some are afraid that if the the person they don't vote for gets elected, the whole country's going to go south. By the way, I've been voting since Reagan. And every single election, every 4 years, is the same scenario. If somebody that I didn't vote for gets it, the whole world, the whole country's going down the tubes. So let's all, you know, load up on our ammunition and just in case the apocalypse comes. You know what? I'm not here to talk politics. I'm here to tell you that either the Lord is your shepherd or He's not. And if we trust Democrats or Republicans to be our saviors, we're in a bad position spiritually. Believers do not need to be panicking during any election. That's all I've got to say about that. And I do vote. Janet and I voted yesterday by ballot so that I could hunt on election day. Just being honest right there. All right? But don't be intimidated by death. All right? If you're afraid, fear is a natural thing. But do not be intimidated by death, because He's destroyed death. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, which is a real place between Jericho and Jerusalem, it's a pinch point for predators. I believe right now we're in a pinch point. We're in a dark spot, dark in our country, a vulnerable spot, even in your church. When the valley of the shadow of death comes, you don't have to fear it. You will fear no evil, for He is with us. And His rod and His staff, they comfort us. A rod's a 3-foot-like club, sometimes used as a scepter, mostly used as a weapon against predators. Like I said, I use a bow, and David got one from Jonathan, and I look forward to seeing that in heaven someday. But, you know, God says, I've got your rod, a shepherd's rod to protect you, and I've got a shepherd's staff to guide you. The guy, you know, that's the walking stick with the, you know, the end on it. You can get one at Tractor Supply for $20. I'm serious. Go down there. Tractor Supply sells a shepherd's staff like David is talking about. Why? To use for livestock. To nudge the sheep over. You know what I was thinking of doing? I was thinking of going after Eeyore with my shepherd's staff, because I've got one. And saying, Eeyore, come on, buddy. Come on. Come on. Just nudging him right there out of the water. I'd do it for Eeyore. I wouldn't do it for a llama, though. I'd let him drown. I tell you what, you spit on my wife, you're going to perish, okay? You know, a lot of scholars believe, as I close this, that this psalm was written during a time after David's son perished, Absalom, in a rebellion, in a coup attempt. Absalom perished in David came back to his roots and said, you know what? Even through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear evil. Some of you have lost friends, family, this year. Or perhaps somebody is ill and you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or maybe you will be. But don't let it defeat you. Don't let it intimidate you. Don't be conquered by evil, but let conquer evil with good. And Jesus is your shepherd. Vance Havner, having lost his wife of 36 years, he said, I'm still in the valley, but thank God I'm walking through it, not wallowing in it. Would you bow for a word of prayer as we respond to His word? I don't want to be melodramatic about this first Sunday after your earthly pastor, senior pastor, has left. This is a time to embrace the grief of losing your pastor. The alternative to that is to not be grieving when your pastor leaves. And I can tell you, there are churches in that situation who are relieved after their pastor left. So I was telling Heath the other day, man, this is hard because the love's deep and it's real. So right now, I want us to turn our eyes on Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and pray this prayer. Just a summation of Psalm 23. Lord, Thank you for being my pastor, my shepherd. If you're a believer, thank Him right now. Acknowledge Him as your ultimate pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for being my provider. I shall not want. Thank you, Lord, for being my protector. I shall not fear. If you've never trusted Jesus, He has conquered death on the cross. His death and His resurrection made it possible for you to live forever. But you have to ask Him to be your shepherd. You need to give up any attempt to trying to save yourself or let someone else. And just ask Jesus to do what He's already done, to save you, forgive you, love you. There's going to be pastors and deacons available for prayer at this invitation time as we sing. If you'd like to pray with someone, talk to someone about your first step to following Jesus or being a part of this church, you just need somebody to pray with. Father, we love You. We thank You for our church family. And we pray that You be honored during this time of decision. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.